Hey guys, it's Sunday afternoon. You know what that means. It's movie moan time here at ThinkBeforeIThink.com. I'm Jamie, here with you as always. With me, as always, is the British gentleman agent, Mr. Phil G. Sir, say hello.
Hi, Uncle Jamie. Really, really like the kids show introduction there. That was
go to bed! Fun. And we're up for a nappy. Wake up!
I have a bow tie on.
I'm seeing, I'm seeing you dressed as Rainbow Randolph from Death to Smoochie, for those of you who have seen that film. I know Ed has.
I always wear the suit. What are you talking about?
That's true, dear.
Amazing.
Sitting with me is the star of the Ed Hocken Show. Sell down, folks. Sell down, kids. Star of the Ed Hocken Show on BraindeadRadio.com, Captain Ed Hocken.
Thank you, Phil. I have to say it's good to be back as always. I'm currently in recovery from some dental work. I'll be back up, and we should have a new episode sometime out next week, I'd say. We're definitely going to record, I'd say, this coming Saturday or so. So get ready and look forward to that.
Well, the title of the
you can't stop that mouth dental pain. Well, damn you, you can't stop.
Will the title of the show be called Dental Plan? Ed Needs Braces.
Well, I don't know, but since you just said that, we may go ahead and use
okay,
it.
Okay, there you go. But also joining us is our good friend from up north, Mr. Lou.
Hey everybody! Na 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 Batman! Happy birthday, Adam West, 82 today.
Wow!
Well done, bravo! Bravo.
Mr. West, you told me there was a job for me.
I did call 45 minutes ago.
Sorry. Couldn't help it. You can't make me stop referencing The Simpsons. Even as bad as it's been for the last decade, I always remember the good times. Kind of like an abused wife, I guess, is what my analogy would be to The Simpsons.
How can we segue from that, Jamie? You make this job impossible.
I have no idea. It's the coffee talk.
Are we gonna play matchmaker for him now?
You saw a movie, Jamie. What did you
see? Well, Hawken and I saw it. You bastards didn't go see it. Lou and Phil. Not that we're gonna name anybody right now.
They don't show movies when the Pope visits. There's a blockade. He bans all the theaters because it's subversive entertainment.
The Pope wanted to go see the movie. You're like, goddamn Pope.
Exactly.
Actually, I'm going to hell for just saying that. But you people know, if I disappear right now, that's why. No, Hawken and I saw The Town this weekend, Ben Affleck's directorial follow-up to what I thought was the best movie of 2007, Gone Baby Gone. I guess I just cut to the chase. I thought it was excellent, a solid follow-up to that film. I didn't think to myself, like, well, it's not Gone Baby Gone. Not at all. I mean, it was its own thing. Yes, it's set in Boston, but for me, that'd be kind of like saying, you know, oh, another New York set movie from Woody Allen. I mean, it's different. What did you think, Hawken?
Oh, I agree, Jamie. This was an excellent movie. Ben Affleck did a great job. I personally enjoyed the great use of geography of the city of Boston, especially. Now, I've never been to Boston, but I know it's very compact, and I really enjoyed how it was used, especially during the big action sequence.
Yeah, that chase where like they're going around the corners. You do feel – I was just in New Orleans this weekend, so going down Canal Street and Bourbon Street and whatnot, like I felt like, yeah, it was just like going down there, just like tight corners, and yet these guys are going as fast as they can to get away from the authorities. So that was really well done. I mean, good action.
I agree. The only thing Ben Affleck did a really good job with the direction. I think some people have talked about this, that he shouldn't have starred in it. He was fine.
He was great.
Although I definitely feel there may have not been in the chemistry that maybe if they had gotten someone else. Because really, you had Jeremy Renner was fantastic in this, and so was the rest of the supporting cast. Even John Hamm was great, even though you really don't know anything about his character other than the fact he's the law. So,
and Rebecca Hall also. It was those three performances I walked out of. Like, everyone was great, and I thought Affleck was probably – that's probably Affleck's best performance of his career, in my opinion. And I kind of rolled my eyes when I first heard he was casting himself, but – it worked, for my opinion, but...
It did. I just felt that you didn't really... You wouldn't... To me, you didn't really care what eventually happened to this guy.
You don't like him. The only character you like is Rebecca Hall. Every other character... Even John Hamm. Like, yeah, he's the good guy, but you don't like him particularly. Mm-hmm. You only care about...
Well, I like Rebecca Hall anyway.
She is nice. Actually... The way that they framed her in this movie, and what I mean by that is, like, certain shots, particularly when she and Affleck first meet and they're in his car... I don't know what it is, man. The camera just loves her. I mean, I don't know if you caught that. No, I'm serious. Like that was like.
I noticed that. Yeah, she was framed very well.
She was more than anyone else in that movie. No, not because she's the only female in the movie. Because there was Blake Lively playing a piece of Jersey trash. But she was great in the movie, although she's not really in it that much. She is. I mean, she was. I don't know, those, I mean, Hall, Renner, and Hamm were the ones I walked out going, wow, they were great, actually.
I just felt like when you saw Ben Affleck on screen, it kind of reminded me of State of Play. It just didn't, you know, he wasn't really, he's just not that kind of guy that really brings it. You would have probably been better off, I don't know, I guess maybe a more charismatic
dude. Maybe Matt Damon in that part. I mean, he's a, you know.
I don't know, though, if you would have seen Matt Damon play like an Irish heavy like that. I know he was in Good Will Hunting and all that. Yeah, well, true, The Departed also. Yeah, that's a good point. Although I like this movie a lot more than The Departed.
Really? So. Wow.
Well, I felt this movie had better pacing and just and moved along.
But, well, there were,
and it also just.
Oh, go ahead.
Well, in just as I said, you really, you know, got to enjoy the city of Boston, which is, as I said, I've never been there, so I really enjoy it when a director, you know, goes outside of the New York, L.A., you know, mentality and goes and looks at another city and really gets into the nooks and crannies.
Yeah, I don't disagree with any of that. Very good movie.
I can't wait to see it.
You should. Really, well, the difference, also, it's not like a gotcha. There aren't any twists. I mean, it's very straightforward plot-wise. I mean, yeah, you could probably, I mean, yes, you could probably guess what's going to happen, but that doesn't matter. You're so into the movie. And I say that as a positive. So, check it out.
Just let me ask you one question about this, Jamie, because I'm really interested. Now that it has, based on what you're saying, been established that Ben Affleck is definitely not a... a director that only has one good film in him, and it's his first. He's not obeying that cliche. He is a good director, and he's making good films. Do you think he should just keep making this type of film, just, you know, dirty kitchen sink, if that's a phrase in your country, dramas, thrillers set in
Boston?
Well, I mean, or should he actually branch out?
Well, I mean, I just gave the example of Woody Allen. I mean, he made a lot of great movies that were New York-centric. Scorsese, the same. I mean, it doesn't really – I don't know. I mean, he's still so early on in his directing career. I don't really have a preference right now. I mean, he's made two great movies. I can't really complain right now. He's still – so, no.
Just don't go to 3D, Affleck. We don't need in 3D.
3D Ben Affleck. Yeah.
Yeah, we'll see what happens. Hopefully, we'll continue directing.
I think he will. I mean, he's not really. I don't think he'll be as. I mean, if anything, the movie opened to number one this weekend, made about $24 million, which is great. I mean, in fact, I think last week Christine and I were both agreed like it won't do well. I don't want to put words in her mouth. I know I said it. I think she might have backed me up. Good to be wrong, because I mean, I saw it Friday night. It was packed. People were into the movie. I was shocked. I thought they'd go see the Easy A movie instead, which does look cute. I'm not knocking it, but I was surprised to see the town do so well. So it's good to see that Affleck really is getting his commercial groove back. I mean, because for a while, you know, Ben Affleck is one of those guys people wouldn't go see his movies. Starting with
he was overexposed.
He was God, and the Bennifer thing really is what did it. I mean, people loved Affleck for a while, but then it was Bennifer that killed it, man. But they've kind of slowly but surely kind of quote unquote forgiven him, for lack of a better term. I mean, that's not the right phrase to use.
I think he's got his best place is probably behind the camera.
Absolutely. Delivering products like that, I mean, you know, I want to see more of that. So I'll have what he's having. So no questions, Lou, Phil. Thanks.
No,
guys.
I think he's having Jennifer Garner. So
and that is an upgrade, to be fair, from Jennifer Lopez. I think we can all agree to that.
Yeah, I'd say so.
So. Thanks.
Yes, absolutely.
Thanks, fellas.
No, I'm surprised you even needed an answer out of me on that.
I don't
question,
know, really. Phil. I mean, you know, some people don't think Jennifer Garner looks nice. I think those people are insane, and I'm glad you're not one of them. So
yes,
and the fact that Lou said nothing, Lou's insane. So just putting that out.
I'm just trying to think of a good.
I brought up Jennifer Garner.
You did, actually. Oops. Hey, jeez. At least I didn't call you Phil this week, Lou.
The night is young.
True. You were saying.
I was just trying to think of a good John Hamm segue to take us into our next thing, but I can't. Ever since Ed said that to John Hamm is the law, I've been having Judge Dredd flashbacks, I'm afraid, so I'm a little muddled over here. But anyway, Jamie, what's happening with John Hamm and Superman?
Well, yeah, we reported a story, a rumor we heard late July, actually, that John Hamm was being seriously looked at from Warner Brothers slash Legendary's end for Superman reboot, and we got a lot of coverage, you know, when it initially hit, and for some reason, I don't know what started it, but, like, all of a sudden, even more people started picking up on it this past weekend, I don't know what happened, I really don't. Just all of a sudden, I start looking up all these articles, and they're like, TMT, you know, linking us, I'm like, I didn't email anybody saying that, I mean, I thought the story was over with.
I guess Jon Hamm's been on, like, doing promotion for the town, right? So maybe
it was right before, and yeah, he got interviewed. Like I said earlier, I was in New Orleans this week, I got a text message from Peter saying, like, hey, our Superman story got mentioned by Regis and Kelly. Now, granted, they didn't say, like, you know, the website. No one ever does that, which would have been awesome, by the way, to hear Regis film and go, I think it's from this website. Think, McFly, think! But that didn't happen, of course. But no, I mean, you know, people have asked. It started picking up steam, and people are asking Jon Hamm his representation. Like, hey, is this true? Have you been cast as Superman? And Hamm kind of gave a non-denial, non-answer. I guess. I mean, very coy.
I may not be Jon Hamm. That's that kind of answer.
Which is fair enough. I mean, that's fine. And then he did later flat out deny it to, I think, Jimmy Fallon or somebody. But they went to someone else went to his representation, and they said, no, it's not true. We have not met with Warner Brothers about this role. And I'm sitting there going, well, we didn't say you did. We flat out said you hadn't. We said this is from the studio standpoint. So when I see these headlines saying that, oh, well, you know, his story's been debunked, it has not been debunked. This is, you know, they haven't said anything so far that, you know, cancels out our story. And I stand by it. I absolutely stand by the story. I mean, he is definitely being looked at by Warner Brothers. And considering how the town did this weekend,
But the fact is, the movies, I hate to break it, folks, the Superman movie, it's still quite a way away.
It's two years. That's not that far away.
It's not that far away, but still, I mean, they're not going to be casting it right now, are they? Even the lead.
Well, I mean, they're certain.
Unless it is a dweeb that they're getting and they need to get in shape.
Well,
but I don't think they're going
to
do that.
Well, I don't know. I mean, they have to start production next year because of this lawsuit stuff. I mean, they have to make a movie because of a court ruling. They can't get around that. They tried to. So it's going to come out Christmas 2012, and we don't know who's directing it yet. You know, it might be his.
I notice Ed staying completely silent. I bet it's him. I bet they've cast him. He's just not telling us. Mess up, Ed.
I got no idea what you're talking about.
At least he's not lying.
I'm trying.
If what you're trying to say, Phil, is that he's going to be too old for the part. By the time they get around to making this, I totally agree with you. And.
No, I never said that, Lou. No,
well,
no.
I'm drawing that. I'm making that extension from your
book. You son of a bitch.
Wow.
It's not fair. No.
I'll take credit for it then. He'll be too friggin' old by the time they get
Well, I mean, when I wrote the article, I did point out to say, like, hey, you know, I know people are going to say he's too old. Well, he's actually younger than Downey. He will have been younger than Robert Downey Jr. was when he was cast as Iron Man and Sherlock Holmes. And he's headlining
Downey's in a suit in Iron Man.
Well, still, though, I mean, like,
Downey can play Iron Man when he's in a wheelchair.
And probably will.
I don't understand this, especially coming from you, Lou. I do not understand this obsession over casting leads in blockbusters. So young. I don't get why they can't cast
men.
Because
if you want to make a franchise out of it, you have to have an actor that's going to be...
Fuck the long-term plan. I want to see the Man of Steel with a Man of Steel, if I can, please. I'd like a man. I like Jon Hamm. This is turning into a Dr. Zeus nightmare here, but I'm basically saying they should cast Jon Hamm. He is perfect for it. If nothing else, he has the chin of steel. Please pass
well,
this
if that's
man.
The case, then you know Bruce Campbell, man, he still has the chin.
Well, I'm just speaking from a movie producer,
and that's fine. And I don't.
I was going to make
absolutely. That's fine. No. I get what you're saying, Lou.
I would if I was going to get him. I would make sure that I had three scripts ready to go so they could film them all at the same time, like a Lord of the Rings kind.
Well,
of
the thing. Other thing, though, to be fair, though, the thing about this reboot is that it does have an it's not the origin story. It's an established Superman. So maybe they want someone a little more mature like him. I don't know. I mean.
But also, you can correct me if I'm wrong on this, please, guys, but I would have thought at this point, this is, like, Nolan's baby, and what Nolan wants, Nolan gets, and who Nolan wants to cast, that's who's it's going to be. And I'm not saying Nolan's had any connection with John Hamm whatsoever.
Well, it's certainly, if he wants Hamm, it certainly increases Hamm's chances of getting the role.
If Nolan was directing the movie, then I'd probably agree with that. But he's producing it, and he's helping to get this thing going. And then once they get the director, Nolan's going to be like, all right, see you later. I got to go make my movie. Because they're coming out within a six-month window of each other. So Nolan probably won't have that much time to pay attention while he's getting Batman 3 prepped, that he is directing.
But he's at least going to be making sure – he's going to be recommending who the director is, because we've heard he wants it to be his
brother. Wanted to be his brother. Yeah, we don't know if that'll happen. I'm not against it, but
– his brother's busy with JJ now anyhow.
You think so? You think that pretty much like – you think that news item pretty much like cemented, like, no, he won't direct it?
Well, where is he going to have the time?
Well, I don't know. I mean, well, you know the way these TV shows work. Like, that, you know, we don't know how much direct involvement – Jonah would have beyond the pilot script. I mean, I'm not arguing against you. I'm not arguing against you. I'm just asking that out loud.
Yeah, I know JJ's involvement would be much more than a rubber stamp. What Nolan's involvement in that Alcatraz series is, I have no idea.
Oh, no, it's not that. You think of something else. It was something else, actually, not the Alcatraz show.
I'm with Lou, though, on this one. If you're directing a Superman movie, you can't multitask. You've just got to make that. And you got to, it's a long haul job, and that's what I would hope. I would hope that whoever's directing it is not.
I mean, even his brother had to dedicate all his time to Batman. So there you go.
So we'll see what happens. But like I said, I mean, we stand by the story, and if he gets cast, great. We can brag about it. If he doesn't, oh well. You know.
And I just want to be clear. I think it would be absolutely cool if he got the role.
Sure.
I'm just saying, from a business perspective, I just can't see him getting
it. Sure, and that's the other thing. Like, some people have said, like, you know, and I will say that the coverage we got was great. No one was douchey about it, to be fair. But I did hear a couple of, like, you know, oh, well, it's just more fantasy casting. It's what they want to see happen. I was like, no, I'm with you, Lou. Hamm would do awesome, but he wouldn't be my pick personally. We're just reporting what we heard from good sources, so.
Oh, well. Holy shit! I thought we were like together on this team. I thought he was your pick. I'm surprised.
No,
that's okay though.
He is my pick. I just don't think, from a business perspective, he's the right pick.
Look, Jamie. Look, sorry, Lou. You are. See, there. I've done it this week. I've called Jamie Lou.
I've spread.
Lou, you are the wise and sage for a reason. You are making perfect sense. I'm the whiny fanboy here. I am, but I'm not going to throw a hissy fit if it's not him.
Okay. Not on air.
I was a whiny fanboy last week with the Dark Towers.
So. You weren't whiny, though, dude. You were totally cool about it. I don't know why you said that. You said that on Twitter last week. I was like, what are you talking about? You were fine.
You were.
No, well, see, what would have been a whiny fanboy is, like, you hear something you don't want to hear. So, no, that's not true. Like, that's a whiny fanboy. You didn't say that.
Oh, okay.
You know.
Oh, yeah, then I would sound like Phil, right?
Oh.
Zane. Next.
Yeah, I was about to say segue. They're doing a Mission Impossible 4. Yeah, I guess that's our J.J. Abrams segue, because Lou mentioned him like five minutes ago, and we started talking about something else. No, so they're doing MI4.
It's Captain Enthusiasm.
It's called The Mission now.
Yeah, I know. That's such a great title. They're like, okay, we're going to retitle it because we don't want to associate with the other three movies, and of course Jeremy Renner's going to co-star, and obviously they're going to pass the torch, blah, blah, blah. Let's give it a new title. Hey, how about The Mission? Yeah, that won't trick people into seeing it. What are you talking about? So silly. Really? The Mission? Like, okay.
I think it works, actually.
No,
it
works, but under, like, the frame of mind they had by saying, okay, we're going to retitle it for these reasons, to go ahead and call it The Mission, it's kind of half-assed, crazy, you know.
Yeah, I would have called it Impossible, but that's just
Impossible. Funny.
It works. I mean, let's look. I don't care what it's
called. The Mission that was really difficult to accomplish yet was still done. Starring Tom Cruise.
They can call it Bouncing Boo and the Baby Ballerina for all I care. What I care about is that Brad Bird's directing it. And it's automatically... I don't do this often, but automatically I'm going to say it's going to be awesome. Because he's directing it. I have complete faith in him.
Yep, me too. After the Incredibles, this should be a piece of cake for him.
No. And I also wonder, you know, Jamie. Okay. I also wonder, because people always ask
here.
Him.
Get serious. No, Jamie, no. I was wondering. But seriously.
I was sitting in my bathtub with scotch and waffles the other day, and I was thinking...
Scotch and waffles.
That's an Anchorman reference. It's an amusing video he does right, on the
yeah,
DVD.
Go ahead.
It's a really lame reference. Anyway, I was thinking, though, obviously people are always asking Brad Bird about Incredibles 2 and whether he'll do it or not, and he always just throws the same answer back at them, which is essentially, just leave me alone. That's it. I'll do it if
he says it just
if
like
I can make
that. Just leave me.
Well, yeah,
just leave me be.
You can't blame
no,
him,
absolutely
can you?
Not.
Because I mean, I think you and I are consistent on this, that he shouldn't make one. Unless, I mean, it really is going to be better than the other
no,
one.
No, there's no point. You've told the story you need to tell. It's you were better yeah. to do something else and grow your muscles, or flex your muscles. Well, both, actually. But yeah, I mean, yes. Ratatouille was fantastic. And then, you know, he's doing something different like Mission Impossible 4, which I think under any other circumstance we'd all say bad move. But it's like he wants to do this movie called 1908. One of those things. 1900-something.
It's a year.
Exactly. It's in the early 20th century. And, it was, you know, basically they're not going to make it because it's too expensive and a little too ambitious. But you make something like this that's a huge hit, then you start to, you know, get a little more clout. Maybe you can be able to make it. Not unlike Guillermo del Toro doing The Hobbit. So,
Or Nolan. With Inception.
That's true.
But what I was thinking about, Jamie, I have heard quotes from Bird saying that he does have like vague ideas of things he'd like to do in an Incredible sequel. He just doesn't have a story for one. So I'm thinking he's doing Mission Impossible 4. Are we going to see those things implemented? I'm not saying that we're going to see Tom Cruise in a Mr. Incredible costume or with an Incredibles car.
I would
just
hope
saying
not.
Maybe we're going to see some things that he would have done in Incredibles 2 in this, and in which case, you know, that makes me even more excited.
I don't know. That's a good question. I mean, it depends on what kind of ideas he had. I mean, saying, like, well, I got some ideas. I mean, well, that's great, but, every director has ideas for a sequel to one of his movies, but you know, that doesn't mean they're always going to happen. I mean,
yeah.
So
I think that's definitely on the back burner for him anyhow right now, because ABC's got that No Ordinary Family series coming on.
Right.
Which is basically in the Incredibles live action, so he probably doesn't want to muddy the water.
Right, with the commish, you know. So
with the commish, yeah.
Notice I didn't make a what's that show he did for
the Shield.
Thank you. I was about to say Rescue Me. I was like, that's not it. I didn't make a reference to the Shield. I said the commish. So
yeah,
I should have said Wired. That's what I should have said.
I'm just curious in the Mission Impossible 4 if they're going to continue the storyline with him. Cruz's character being married and all that, or is that going to get
I don't think she's in the movie. I think it's...
care, really?
I'm sorry, Ed?
I doubt anyone cares.
Well, that too, but... Well, I mean, you know, you could have started MI4 with just, Ving Rhames and then a new guy. I don't see... I didn't see the need of getting in Tom Cruise. If I had to guess, my guess is it's... And this is a pure... I don't know this now, but... they kind of do like the first Mission Impossible movie where, like, Emilio Estevez out of nowhere cameoed in it. No one knew it, and the reason was to kill him off and send the shock value. I wouldn't be surprised in the first 5 minutes, like, Cruz gets offed.
Really?
Damn.
I
tell you what, dude, you've called it. No one else has said it. If you're right, you're going to look a genius.
I don't know about that, but it's just, I mean...
Well, okay, no, maybe not a genius, okay,
you're still
but...
stupid, Jamie, but, you know, you got that one right. No.
Yeah, this guy over here, he cured cancer, but Jamie, he called that Tom Cruise is going to die. Wow.
Not this character.
If you call it in the shower, I'll be really impressed.
Yeah.
That's funny.
I just don't know what the story's going to be. What can they possibly do? I'm racking my brain about this.
Well, it's like a James Bond movie. They can do anything.
That's true.
They
it's
want.
Just more the same. What's that quote that Christopher Wood, one of the Bond writers, said? Like, you have to do the same thing, all you know, every movie. You have to do the same thing, but make it different.
Well, that's the interesting thing about the Mission Impossible films is that they aren't the same. They do it.
That's true. You get different directors who have different styles. I will say that's the one thing I can like tip my hat to. Granted, I didn't like Mission Impossible 2. I don't know many other
people. No.
I don't think John Woo liked it, for that matter. But, you know, it was stylistically not the same movie as Mission Impossible 1, and same thing with Mission Impossible 3 wasn't the same as the first two. That's the only thing about having Abrams involved with MI4. Is this going to be kind of like stylistically similar to JJ's? I'd prefer it be something different, but... I don't know what kind of style Brad Bird's going to have as a live-action director. That remains to be seen.
Well, let's put it this way. If Peter Graves shows up as Jim Phelps Prime, just back the fuck out of the cinema, because I don't like where he's going with it. That was a lame joke. But
wait, Peter Graves? Yeah, he's kind of dead.
sorry.
Did you mean Martin Landau?
No, I guess. I I'm not really.
Or they could get Leonard. Right.
Well, there was that rumor. Remember that, Lou? Like they were going to bring that character in.
He was in Mission Impossible, right?
Yeah, his character, the Master Disguise. There was a rumor that he was going
to Tom Paris.
No, he was going to be in MI4, the character, not Nimoy. Wait, Nimoy's retired.
Not as a villain, I hope. That's the thing I hate most about this series, even though I've enjoyed two out of three of the films, is that the fact that organization has so many bad eggs in it. Their security screenings are a joke. There's always a fucking double agent every
that's
single
like
movie.
Right?
Yeah, so. That's probably when you first like try out. You know, you send I fucked the joke up. Moving on. Are you going to defect right. from us? Yes. Okay. Click, click. You know, they put those check mark right there. Yeah. Sorry. Yeah. Fuck you all.
Sorry.
So now you want to talk about something, Phil? What was that topic? You had one in mind.
Oh yes, yeah. Sir. Well, it's pretty much the only news item this week that I thought was any interesting is the fact that apparently, not only is there going to be a True Lies TV series, but James Cameron is producing it. Of course,
isn't this basically called Alias, though. I mean, that's what Alias was.
Yeah,
True Lies.
It's true. I mean, I'm not saying it's a great idea. I'm just saying it's happening, whether you like it or not. You're gonna have to live
with
this.
Like an ABC or something, like some network just bought it. I think just like yesterday or something.
Yeah, I'm sure it's just because his name's attached. I mean, the only reason I think it's interesting is obviously that's it. And it's weird how, of all Cameron's movies, the one over the last decade that I've heard the most movement about a possible sequel or continuation was True Lies.
Well,
and
to be fair, from Tom Arnold.
That's Tom Arnold.
And to be fair, Tom Arnold probably, like, cried tears of joy when this was announced. Like, I get a job now! You know,
well, that's no guarantee, is it?
I would be shocked if Tom Arnold is not on that goddamn show.
Is this show going to be brought to us by Arby's every week?
I would hope so, sir.
That's what I want. But, I mean, I have no expectation for this. I mean, I probably think the predictable thing is going to do is obviously that Elijah Dushku will be the main character in it, carrying on things, and of course, you know, well,
Is the show a continuation of the movie, or is it one of those things where it just takes the names and shit and kind of does a new, like, kind of like the Terminator show, you know, they kind of did their own thing?
Oh, well, that would be great, wouldn't it?
Is that what they're doing, though, is my question.
I, God knows. Nobody knows at this point. Nobody knows. We've got no expectation. We'll see what happens. I mean,
So you're basically, but you're going to watch it.
No. We'll see. We've got nothing to go on at the moment. I just thought it was really interesting that he's decided.
It's weird
that
how these similar projects keep popping up at the same time, especially on TV, because like right now you've got Undercover, which is really True Lies. What else? With Covert Affairs just finished. Nikita's been rebooted again. So like all these spy shows are coming on at the same
time.
60s
all over again.
Weird. It's weird. Yeah, it's like Man from U.N.C.L.E.
Spy Rush 10 years ago too.
Yeah. We did. That's true.
I don't think it ever goes away. It's just always in a different wrapper.
Goes in a coma.
I mean, these days it is. Well, yeah, I mean, these days it's, you know, Politico, Afghan, thriller spy things like Green Zone. That's what it is today. Maybe True Lies is going to be different. I don't know. I'm pretty sure Bill Paxton will be in it. Just for a cameo.
He's doing his show, Big Love, sir.
He'll be in it, dude. I'm telling you right
now.
I'm calling it. Not that I'm going to, again, I'm not going to look
just like
a genius.
You'll, like, get up and be like, I was right! Suck my dick! Bill Paxton's in the show! All right, fair enough. You had another question, though. What will be the other 90s movies that will be made into modern-day TV shows? I think it was what you also wanted to ask.
I just thought it was interesting. I mean, I've just been thinking about this now. I honestly think that someday...
Junior.
In the next
We're
going to
see it.
Years,
Junior, the TV show.
Not Twins. Junior. No. Twins. Jurassic Park.
Jeez.
I promise you this. Jurassic Park 4 is not going to get made. We're going to get a TV show.
Yeah, but we're getting
show
that show from Spielberg about the dinosaur. What's it called, Lou? You know what I'm talking about? The one that Stephen Lane just joined.
I'm drawing a blank on it, sir.
Fuck you.
It's the Spielberg Smile Time Dinosaur Hour.
No, but it's a show on Fox, apparently. They've already committed to like 13 or 22 shows. It involves dinosaurs.
Oh, I'm there.
Time travel.
Never
and shit like that. You don't remember?
Oh, no, I've not heard of it.
Sigh. Oh, well.
I just remember that what I'd heard rumor-wise about Jurassic Park 4 was that the dinosaurs would have guns. They'd have weapons and stuff. Kind of like Dino-like.
The script of all things.
I know, really. Okay. It's like, oh my god.
I didn't know there was a script.
Oh, yeah.
So they were going to go to the island of, like, genetic rejects or something like that.
Because there's another island.
Yeah, there's always another island.
The island of misforgotten toys.
Now, this one will have the talking dinosaurs. That's how it'll be different.
The erudite dinosaur.
The adorex. The
critic was right.
Exactly. You may get us, but you won't get off this island. Actually, I've prepared a
that island of Dr. Moreau.
Yes, because we need another remake of that, which I'm surprised I haven't yet. They will eventually.
Actually, Mark Shepard is doing one right now.
No kid.
Yep.
Wow, okay. I wasn't wrong then.
Yeah,
Val Kilmer.
But anyway, that's what I think. I think we're gonna I honestly think we'll get Jurassic Park. Even it doesn't matter what the hell Spielberg's doing. We'll get Jurassic Park with
hard
the brand.
Imagine what exactly the series would be about.
Run, though. They're out again. We have to. I mean, is that when they're gonna be every week?
Well, you know, they'll look at Lost and say, look, all we need to do is put people on an island, but we are dinosaurs. All of a sudden, it sounds cool. I'm thinking of Sound of Thunder as well, that horrible movie that I never saw it, but its reputation preceded
it. Ed Ben Kingsley, you should have known right there.
Of course.
It's true. But, you know.
It's true. But, I mean, that's what I think. I mean, what are you guys? You must have one you think's going to happen.
Hmm. I'm trying to think of some 1990s.
Exactly. I don't know. I mean,
yeah,
let me think, but, you know. Pulp Fiction, the animated series. I don't know.
Yeah, I was about to say that.
You were? That's funny.
I was going to say Pulp Fiction is a joke, anyway.
It's a Saturday morning cartoon version of Pulp Fiction. I don't know.
Oh, man.
That reminds me of the Chud Forum, actually, Ed Hawken, that me and you were involved with, where someone said, like, you should do Saturday morning cartoon versions of, like, current shows. And there were some brilliant shows on there. I mean...
The best one I ever came up with was Spaced in Space.
That's right. Tim, with political intrigue from Tim.
Yes.
Oh, man. There was some... Oh, man, I'm blanking.
There were some really good ones.
The Baby Blues is the one I really liked, actually. A version of...
Mad Men for Kids.
We've already had the Crow TV series, so...
Plenty.
That show was terrible.
Yeah, well, we did... Yeah. That's right, Mad Men, because it was like they do a lemonade stand. That's right.
And they knock back Dixie Sticks and all that stuff.
I like the one with Arrested Development.
Independence Day?
Oh, God. I like the Arrested Development.
He might be onto something there, actually. That might happen.
Independence Day. Yeah, maybe.
Twister, the TV show.
The Arrival TV show?
Yeah.
That's probably already done.
You could do an Arrival show. That'd be awesome. Oh, you know what?
Mrs. Doubtfire.
Hey, I know. The Phantom, the TV show. Hey, there we go.
God damn it.
There we go.
To piss off.
Actually, I think...
Guess it didn't work.
Well, they did a cartoon.
Yeah, well, they're actually doing a new version of the Phantom on Sci-Fi Channel where he doesn't.
Yeah, that's what I.
He doesn't
thought.
Wear the suit though. He wears something that's kind of purple, but no mask, no hood,
the cape.
Not.
Is there really going to be anyone clamoring that the Phantom must be dressed in purple?
I guess not.
Hope not.
The fan base from 1928 is going to really complain.
They sent so many angry telegrams, you don't even know, dude.
Kindergarten Cop?
That is 90s. That's true, actually. We're gonna.
You're just picking Arnold movies now. This is late.
I'm just going through a list here. Yeah. Encino Man, Truman Show. Dazed and Confused,
wow.
Total
Lose
Recall.
The IMDb, you can list every fucking title from the 90s. Just bear with us, folks. We might be a while.
Yeah, Suburban Commando, the TV show.
Oh, they made a series of The Iron Giant. That would be cool.
Oh, there you go, actually. Be great.
That would be cool.
That would be cool. Yeah. There we go. Note of hope. I think we'll leave on.
Yeah, I'm about to say, with that, good night, folks. No, we have one more news item, actually, because we keep doing this all goddamn night, and probably would. Copland. But actually, there was some really cool casting that came on this week, actually. Apparently, news came out that they're doing a biopic, which I hate that genre to begin with. There's a couple of exceptions. On Freddie Mercury, you know, the lead singer for Queen. Peter Morgan is writing it. Brilliant piece of casting. Sacha Baron Cohen is going to play him.
Yeah, this makes perfect sense.
It does.
Yep.
I must say, it was also perfect casting when Spielberg got him to be Abbie Hoffman for the Trials of the Chicago 7. That movie never got made, but that was also some brilliant casting. So hopefully this doesn't meet the same fate as that Spielberg movie.
Yeah, hopefully it won't follow the same tropes the usual music biopic does.
I hope not.
We'll see. I mean, this supposedly ends in 1985, so during Live Aid.
Well, I'd be curious who they get to direct it, though. I mean,
yeah,
Paul Schrader. I'm calling it right now. That'd be awesome, actually.
God damn, he
needs to direct again.
It's gonna be
that'd be a very, very downbeat biopic. So.
Yeah. Well, I mean, you know, I don't know what the goal they're going for. Peter Morgan writing this movie is so. I mean,
well, they end up directing. Doesn't Peter Morgan direct his own stuff?
I don't think so. Does he, Phil? You're British, don't you guys?
No, of course not. No. He's
Queen, who did direct The Queen? Stephen Frears?
It wasn't him. No, it was Stephen Frears.
Yeah, okay. Stephen Frears.
Yeah, I did The Last King of Scotland.
Wrote Frost Nixon, which was Ron Howard.
Oh, it's, God, let's not get Ron Howard just. I mean, Ron Howard's a good director. But
it probably will be.
He's busy.
It's going to be
the
someone
power.
Saying.
Yeah.
No, you're
that's right.
Well, okay, fair enough.
That's true.
You know, I honestly feel, though, I mean, this is, it's certainly, if you're going to get a name, it's certainly no one better, but I do feel that with practically all of these biopics, and there are examples where it overcomes it, but for most, casting a name really does handicap the picture. It just feels like a gimmick to me. Just this
it
is just
usually does.
I mean, like, for recent example, Christopher Eccleston playing John Lennon. It's a gimmick. It does nothing for me. I am not in any way tempted to go see the movie. And that's how they sell it. That's all they do. They just show you an image of that actor as that character. Sorry, that
we've
person.
We've already seen Aaron Cohen as Freddie Mercury. We've already seen him with a mustache. So,
yeah, we have that idea. The example I can think of, Phil, real quick, is one of the few biopics I really like is Man on the Moon. I mean, Jim Carrey. It's just fucking weird how he was Andy Kaufman.
With that, though, I mean, that's irresistible. You know, at that point, you're like, okay, yeah, I'm gonna see that. I'm really, really curious how that turns out. And it might be the same with this one.
I think so. I think it would be one of those things where you just go, I mean, it's the cliche thing, but it's true sometimes. It's like you're not watching the Sacha Baron Cohen as Freddie Mercury. You're seeing Freddie Mercury. You know, and the only other example I can think of outside of Carrie was Jamie Foxx and Ray. Granted, I thought Ray was a very meh movie, very overrated. Basically,
well, didn't they say really though he's impersonating Ray Charles? I mean, I never saw
it,
Ray.
It really was, but it's just weird. Yeah, but I didn't think it was an impersonation though. Like, you watch the movie, you're just like, that's Ray Charles. Like, again, the movie wasn't that awesome. It, just the fact that it got nominated for Best Picture is laughable as hell. But you know, the performance was worthy.
I think it helps. I mean, I think it helps if they are impersonating a real-life figure that doesn't have that much exposure in the media. Like, even though, you know, we all know about him and his history, I haven't seen that many video clips of Malcolm X. So when I see Denzel Washington, he tells me that he's Malcolm X, because I really don't know. I've never actually seen too much footage of the guy.
Well, fair
with
enough.
This one, I think he's at a handicap, you know. But
I haven't seen a lot of footage of Freddie Mercury, though, myself, but... Maybe it's just because
only,
I'm
only have him in concert though. That's
yeah, concert footage.
Really... Yeah, all you got to miss is him in concert, and he's usually way out there as far as
that is a good point.
So, yeah, I was just thinking of directors. Like, what about Baz Luhrmann?
Baz Luhrmann, maybe he's not doing nothing. Yeah, that's a good point. I could see that.
That'd be terrible. Probably.
Oh, you think so? Okay, fair enough.
Yeah, I don't like the sound of that. I don't like Baz Luhrmann. So.
I'm iffy. I didn't like Australia, but I mean, obviously, I did like Romeo and Juliet.
What's that movie that? About the writer,
the writer
Goldie Hawn's daughter was in.
What movie?
The Goldie Hawn's daughter was in. She was played Penny Lane. In
Cameron Crowe.
Cameron Crowe. Would that?
That wouldn't be good.
I don't think that would be good. Actually, I just thought of a name and my.
Well, that's all. My
actually, I don't know why I just thought of another name. It's a little out there, but Spike Jones.
Sylvester Stallone. Oh no! Sorry,
No, Spike Jones.
Huh.
Yeah,
Oliver
yeah,
Jones.
I'm down for that.
They have him do a mainstream movie like
I don't
that.
Know, but again, would it be mainstream? I mean, you know, I don't know if you would necessarily call a Freddie Mercury movie mainstream.
True.
I mean, and also he did Where the Wild Things Are, and that was kind of a mainstream movie. It was a very well-known book. Ish. That's true.
Yeah.
I mean, I adore that movie. I really do, but I'm game for anything he does. But no, I think it's. I think they can get anyone they want. It's another thing with these biopics. It doesn't matter who the director is. You're never going because of
that's
the director.
True.
You never. So they can get whoever they want. I said this to Jamie off there, though. Honestly, I do think the title will be "I Want to Break Free." I just know it. That's what the title's going to be. Hold me to it.
I think it's going to be called "I Am the Champion." Something.
And that's what he's
don't
saying.
Don't stop me now. There you go.
Another one by.
That'd be terrible.
Oh God, that would be terrible. We're not beating up on Lou. I'm sure everyone's going to leave by. Man, everything Lou says, the other guys go, man, fuck that. But no, it's just.
The funny thing is that, like, I obviously know the music, sure. But I don't know anything about the guy at all, really. You know,
so that's what it's perfect about. Hell, yeah. I didn't even know this guy. I actually thought he was. People kept used to telling me he was Persian. He's actually from India.
Wow.
Persian of all the
that's
things.
What people will tell me.
That's amazing. People, that's hilarious.
Yeah, he told me that he was an Indian. So
he's Bollywood.
Kind
you should do a Bollywood movie. Yeah. There you go.
Yeah.
Bollywood,
Bollywood
Danny
Mercury.
Boyle to direct this.
There you go. Hey, I think we have a winner here, actually. There, Hawken made the best one. I have to say, tip my hat to him on that one.
He'd have the energy for it, I swear.
Yes, he would. Apparently his new movie is really good.
You have to sit around and figure out who's going to play Bowie during the under pressure scene, so.
It's true. I just wonder, Freddie
Mercury, Prince of Persia.
Oh.
I just wonder, like, how they're going to present him, because... Would it be kind of like an Andy Kaufman movie where his public persona was so different from his personal one, or was he the kind of person that he really was the way he was on stage? Like, I don't know the guy at all. Like,
yeah, I don't know either.
That's what's fascinating. I'm curious. Like, yeah. I want to see this.
Yeah.
You, when the interviews that I've seen, I mean, it's interesting you mentioned it, Luke, because in the interviews I've seen, you don't really get a sense of what he's like, except the fact that he's very soft-spoken, shy, and introvert, like so many of these kind of outgoing performers. So
it's funny you mention that, because I know there's supposedly that Liberace movie with Michael Douglas coming out.
That's going to happen, sadly.
Oh, it's not going to happen?
I don't think they shot it. I mean, Michael Douglas is... Shoot. Well, he's kind of going through...
That's true. He's dealing with cancer
right
now,
he's going through cancer, sadly, and hopefully he beats it, but...
yeah.
That's going to be occupying
I heard ages
time.
Ago Nicolas Cage was supposed to play that part.
Now, see, that would make
that
more...
That would have been terrible.
I don't know. That makes more sense than... Really? I think that makes more sense than Michael Douglas.
He doesn't look like the guy at all, actually.
Well, I remember reading that Bob Zemuda really wanted Nicolas Cage for Man on the Moon, and that's like, I don't know, man. I think...
That would have been...
That would have been weird, you know. So, anyway.
Michael Douglas looks more like that guy. But, yeah, you're right. I think when you talk about Freddie Mercury like that, it definitely would have worked for Baron Cohen because he's very soft-spoken in real life, and he doesn't actually do a lot of interviews as himself.
Nope. Mm-hmm.
And then, you know, he could do this very easily. It's almost kind of like Peter Sellers when you think about it.
And Andy Kaufman.
So, yeah.
So.
And Jeffrey Rush.
Zing. Yeah.
That's the thing. I think in another time period, would they have considered Jeffrey? No, they wouldn't have considered Jeffrey Rush.
No. That would have been amazing, but no, unfortunately.
No.
Who directed Amadeus?
Lemuel Schwarman, who also directed Man on the Moon.
Yeah, well, there you go.
And One Flew Over the Cuckoo's Nest.
Well, he's a top-flight director. I don't know if he'd want to do another biopic, but that guy has not done a movie in a long
time.
He
hasn't, and he's getting on up there in years, too. I think he's in his 80s. I could be wrong.
He doesn't need to do anything else. You're probably going to get probably a British director or a mid-level director to do this.
Actually, hey, here's a crazy...
Zack Snyder.
I'm going to make the... Okay, here's my last crazy suggestion, and with Hawkins' remark about a British filmmaker, Edgar Wright.
That's... Wow. I'm on board for
that would have been Edgar Wright's Phantom of Paradise right there.
Yeah.
Let's see this, man.
I think we've got consensus, Jamie. Bravo.
You're right, definitely.
So
there we go.
That would definitely be a new challenge for myself.
I think he needs a new challenge. I mean, you know, granted, commercially didn't work, but creatively Scott Pilgrim worked. He pulled it off. So it's like, you know, let's do another challenge. I mean, with all due respect, I the more I think about it, I don't know if I want to see a third Ice Cream movie.
Really?
Yeah.
I kind of see where you're coming from. I know where you're going with that, but
I will go see it if they do make it. I'm not saying they're not going to make it, but it's just you know,
but those movies are so poorly connected. Like a lot of people won't even realize that he's made a trilogy. So I don't.
Well,
really
the fans will.
Won't.
No, what am I? Just like him doing something else, though, something a little different. I mean, that would be interesting. Him seeing, if maybe not a Freddie Mercury biopic, obviously, but just something else.
Yeah, especially just after doing stuff.
I do think he's going to probably do something that has not been announced yet, kind of like how Matthew Vaughn, out of nowhere, took on the X-Men job after Kick-Ass failed. I do think Wright's going to take on something completely unexpected.
Yeah, Del Toro is going to give him something.
That'd be a good combination.
Wolverine 2.
Don't make me cry. Unbreak my heart, Phil, please. Good God. Terrible suggestion. So you want to do a debate this week, sir?
All right.
Well, you wanted to.
No, well, we're doing it every week, folks, because, you know, things are pretty dead. Although this week, at least, we've had some interesting things to talk about. This week, due to public pressure, which was non-existent, but we understand secretly you're saying, God damn, these shows need to be shorter. I completely understand. We'll do a shorter topic this week, one which isn't really going to provoke much discussion. Jamie already has his answer in the queue.
I can't help it. I just do. I mean, it was the first thing off my mind.
We'd also love to hear from you guys at home what you'd like. Please leave in the comments section, what movie prop would you most like to own, or props? Jamie, what do you want to own?
You look at me just like, asshole.
It's such a boring... I'm just kidding. Go on. What would you like to own?
You're such an asshole. a lightsaber. Duh.
Any particular lightsaber or any lightsaber?
I'd say the one Luke's from the first two movies, from Star Wars and Empire.
You don't like the curved-handled ones?
The other one's the green one? No, I mean, blue's my favorite color, and, you know, just the kind of childish, selfish answer that would be.
Sam Jackson purple one.
No, I don't want to be at Sam Jackson. Remember, see, that's the thing. Like, there was a period where Sam Jackson was cool. It was like 10 years ago. And it's like, oh, Sam Jackson, dude, he'll make it cool. Nowadays, it does that. You just kind of roll your eyes like, you know, you're a good actor, dude. You really are. Like, I'd rather you.
That's a topic for another.
I know. I'm just saying. I'm sorry. I can't.
I do have one question to ask you, though, Jamie. Okay. Because I don't know how far we're going.
I mean, what kind of answer did you want me to give? Like, Anne Hathaway's underwear from a movie? I mean,
I want whatever makes you happy. But please say...
Anne Hathaway. How about that? Just not even, like, anything she owns. Just herself. That would make me happy. God.
Lou, let's move over to you. Let's give him time to cool down a little. Jamie, I did want to ask one thing, though. Does your lightsaber actually work? Or is it just a handle?
Yes, no, it would work. I'm assuming you mean like something like straight from the movie. So, yeah, it would work. Like saying like if my answer had been like the Rocketeer packet. Like, no, it would have to work, just like in the movie.
And it would not burn your trousers.
In real life, it would burn my ass off, which I never thought about as a kid. That's something I just didn't process. Like, wouldn't that burn?
The idea of the rocket pack, the jet pack exists. It's just very impractical.
And I want Terry O'Quinn to make it. You know,
absolutely. I'm with you on that. Well, no, that's interesting, though. I mean, I always wondered as a kid, because you see that footage of the Nazis trying it, and then it immediately explodes.
Flying over the air, no less, from Germany to the States. That's like, how many hundreds of miles of just ocean? How many, like, oh, I cannot swim, you know.
Zep moves at how many miles? What, 20 miles per hour?
A very flawed plan, needless to say. We still would have won the
war. What happens at the end of the movie?
Under that plan, we still would have won the war. I don't think we would have had to have been worried. It's like, my God, if the Nazis get a hold of it.
Shot at it with a 38 with a handgun, you would have blown up the Zeppelin.
We would have seen it so far. It's not like when the Japanese attacked Pearl Harbor. Like, wait, what the hell? Like, we'd have seen it so far away coming. Everyone would have taken a smoke break before they got here just to shoot their asses down.
Don't forget what happens at the very end. Timothy Dalton leaves in the jetpack. Where's he going? How far is he
going? I'm assuming
he
was going back to.
Going all the way.
He was going to Germany. You know,
that's a long trip. I hope he brought sandwiches.
Sandwiches. He stopped halfway through. They're like, hey, aren't you that star? No, I'm not him. They listen to the radio and they say, like, he's just escaped. He's a war criminal, a Nazi sympathizer.
Lou, what's on your mind? What would you like?
So it's just one answer?
Give as many. I don't care.
Okay, well, the first one for me is, as for like Jamie's no-brainer, would be the Enterprise from Star Trek Motion Picture. I think that's the best Enterprise out of any configuration they've had.
Very slow ship, though.
Exactly. Wouldn't want the Abrams versus Enterprise.
But I just love the lines on that ship, even over the TV version of it. So that would be my first pick. Probably something from Ray Harryhausen, maybe like one of the fighting skeletons.
Cool.
And
that will be wicked.
Probably the robot's cool. I like him. And maybe the ship from Forbidden Planet as well. I think that's enough.
With Leslie Nielsen?
Well,
no, would Leslie Nielsen come on the ship?
I'd rather have the... Who was the girl? Anne Francis?
There you go.
Yeah. Yeah.
Lou, I take it your wife doesn't listen to this.
Exactly. I hope she's not listening to that. I heard a phone ring earlier.
She has no idea. Even if she did, she would have no idea who I'm talking about.
Thank God.
So
she's a procedural person. She's into the CSIs and the Laws and Orders, so she doesn't watch any of this genre stuff.
I just got this wonderful image of you with a spaceship in your backyard with this lady and just all the mischief you get up to.
Oh, I see what you mean. Yeah. Yes. Yeah, that was kind of hard to explain. I might be able to hide it in the pool. I don't know.
No, you wouldn't, because you could put it in. You would make it invisible like you did in Star Trek IV. Like, no one would notice. Like, your son and your dog go outside and play, and all of a sudden they go, bunk! What the hell was that? There's nothing here.
Why are birds able to, sit on nothing?
Yeah, exactly.
What did you buy now?
How much is this going to cost us, honey?
You didn't really think you could hide this from me, did you?
I mean, you were also hoity-toity about the alien egg with the light-up thing, but you buy a spaceship?
You get into a fight, it's like, instead of sitting in the couch, it's like, just go sleep on the Enterprise. Like, fine.
Yeah, exactly.
Beam yourself. At least the AI on the system will fucking cook me a good meal, you know?
Yeah. I'm really interested to hear what Ed's going to say.
Hey, man,
I got right now is I'd want the car from Blues Brothers, because that thing is a magical car. It can take all sorts of
things. That's good. That is good. That is a good choice. Yeah.
That car can jump chasms, can go underwater, can hit... it's unbelievable how much punishment that thing can take.
That thing was powerful, that's true.
And it runs on regular gas. Well, you can't get regular gas anymore, but still...
Runs over Illinois Nazis, like, just you would not believe.
Yeah. It was dropped from, 200 feet in the air? Worked perfectly. So, the car was unbelievable.
That's funny. What about...
That's all I got right
what now. About, now, that's a great answer, dude. Like, it really is. I never would have thought of that.
And it has practical applications.
Better than what, Ed?
Better than the Ghostbusters car.
I never thought of that one either. Would you want a photon pack? You're carrying you're basically carrying a nuclear device on your back. You're probably going to get cancer, you know. Do you really want that?
See, it's also because the Blues Brothers car is like the Sam and Max car, and that car can literally does anything. So it's pretty much the same car, except for time travel. But I'm sure with enough modifications, you can make the Blues Brothers car go through time.
That would have been the third. That would have been Blues Brothers 3, actually.
Yeah.
Never happened. What about you, Phil?
Well, you know, my top answer would have to be, and this is an odd choice, it actually ties in with who is my favorite movie villain of all time, and you don't even know the answer to this. You might think I might say, of course, I'd like a Darth Vader costume. But no, I owned a Darth Vader helmet as a kid and actually found it extremely claustrophobic. It's not a practical application. What I would really love to own is the makeup worn by Tim Curry in Ridley Scott's Legend.
Nice.
And I would wear that, and I would scare the shit out of anybody. I would wear it to work every day.
Oh, my God.
Basically... Tim Curry in Legend is my favorite movie villain. It's for a lot of reasons, actually, and it's an unusual choice. I don't think he gets enough praise, but even today, the makeup in that movie that he is in is absolutely extraordinary.
It holds up.
It holds up. He's also, I mean, you tend to forget it as you're watching it, but Tim Curry is like 5 foot, and he wasn't chubby at the time, but still, he wasn't a very intimidating, imposing figure, and yet they turn him into this 10-foot creature with giant bulging muscles with the most amazing chin anyone's ever seen, these giant water buffalo horns. It's incredible. And I would, if, oh my God.
Well, you can stalk Rob Bottin, but I don't think that would go
well. Yeah,
well,
exactly. I mean, it's not practical because I'd need someone to apply it to me as well, and it would take 5 hours
every
day and go to work. So it means I'd get no sleep if I went to work.
Especially what happens if your face itches? Yeah. You're gonna scratch the makeup and you're sweating.
And going in the subway to get to London and shit like that. I mean, just like that wouldn't look good. You know, you sitting down there and all of a sudden it's like, so where are you headed?
And I wear a headset. At work, so it really
now Phil would just start like quoting like legend. He'd be like, "Mother Night, forge your dark arms around me.
The last unicorn dies tonight."
Well, if you were in a hurry, you could always do Tim Curry light and dress up like Pennywise the clown or something like that.
Holy shit! I'd get arrested every day.
That's a really...
When you're down here, you'll float.
See, this is why it's just better off to go with a car or like, say, the right-handed doom.
Yeah, I mean, at least he could have said...
The right-handed doom is that if you're right-handed, because that hand is so big, you're not going to be able to take care of some things if you get my drift. So.
Yeah, that's true.
Also, how are you going to explain that at work? You know?
At least it's better than... He could have said, "I'm going to dress up as Gump from Legend." I mean, that would have given you some looks. Probably more look.
It's not even a costume. It's just a freaking underpants made of leaves. That's not a costume. I wouldn't wear that. Now,
so, Phil, you must like the Hellboy makeup then, too.
Oh, yeah, very much. I mean, I'm a big fan of movie makeup when it's able to completely give me, not only give me something I've never seen before, but transform an actor like that, mm-hmm. where it completely becomes the character. And definitely that's, I'll say Hellboy's definitely the best makeup creation we've seen. I don't think there's anything since then that we've seen that equals that. Maybe Hugo Weaving is the Red Skull. I'm hoping. I'm really hoping that might be. That's going to be great. What else would I have? Obviously, I hate to be cliche about it, but Jamie picked a lightsaber. I'm going to pick Chris Reeve's Superman suit. What the hell? It won't fit me, and I'm going to have to get some socks for the lower section, but I don't give a shit. That's what I want. What else would I have?
Would you be able to fly, though, is the question.
Oh, shit. Of course I would.
I don't know, I'm just asking.
Well, would, yes. That's a silly question.
Yeah, dumbass. Yeah, what do you think, you know?
That'd be cool. And also, this is an odd choice, but of course, being a fan as I am, I've got to pick a Bond prop, haven't I? But which Bond prop would I pick?
I think I already know the answer. Well, I don't know the answer, but go ahead and say what I think you're going to say.
It's a car.
I bet you've got to pick as well, Jamie, but I've got to pick. It's an unusual one. It wouldn't be a car. It would be the gun, but for a very specific reason. There's one particular image of Bond drawing his gun, which is burned into my brain more than any other, and I don't even know why, but it just feels so cool to me. It's in Casino Royale, when he's in the lift with Vesper, and he pulls the gun out of the brown paper envelope. And it seems, I don't know if it's like specifically built to be larger than it should be, or it's forced perspective, but that gun is ginormous! The silencer is longer than the gun itself, and it probably weighs a ton, but I would just love to own a Walther PPK with ginormous erection silencer in a brown paper envelope, specifically, and I'd just like to whip that out every day and feel like a man.
I want a raise. No, we're not going to give you a raise. Oh, excuse me, my package just came in. How about now? You know. Now, I just thought about this earlier. You know, I'm surprised no one picked a DeLorean. I guess no one wants to go into.
It's too dangerous.
That's true. No one wants to give the Sports Almanac to Biff Tannen. That's a good point.
Right. Well, that's why you choose it. It's also kind of, you know, you got to speed up to 88 miles an hour. Now, it's TARDIS. You just have to
unreliable.
Hit some switches, and you're good to go. It's like the phone booth from Bill and Ted.
So, a hot tub.
That's right.
Well, a hot tub is hard to store. So,
I would just hate to be the mechanic trying to fix the DeLorean. Like Doc going to like a, you know, going in a mechanic shop, and of course after you get done, you have to do a test run. And I was like, well, it says something about 88 miles an hour. Let's try it. And all of a sudden they go up, and all of a sudden these poor mechanics are in the past or in the future. That would be Back to the Future 4, basically. I just gave executives like the pitch right there.
They just ran it while they were doing a smog check, and they hit it.
Exactly. All of a sudden there's like Julius Caesar.
Speaking of which, I mean, I seem to be the only one here with violent tendencies. You've all picked lovely things like spaceships and cars and stuff.
And laser swords that can cut people's hands off.
Oh, laser swords. Sorry, you're absolutely right there. But I wonder if there are any other movie weapons out there you'd like to own. I mean, obviously, I'd love to own Ripley's gun in Aliens.
I forgot about
the two guns taped together with the flame.
I think I'm going to movie nerd hell because I didn't even once think about a Bond prop. So, I mean, that automatically makes me go straight to the underworld when I die because...
It's okay.
I guess so. I'll see Desmond Llewellyn there. I was joking.
Better be.
Dude, I mean, South Park said, like, all... Remember South Park? They had all those people in hell, and they saw, like, Princess Diana, Gene Siskel, like, lovely people who were in hell. There's, like, it's not personal. Everyone goes to hell. It's just what happens. It's, you know.
Is that how we're ending the show, Jamie?
Apparently, that's how we're going to end the show, on a really dark, depressing note. Typical, basically.
Well, if I had to have a gun, I think I'd like Clint Eastwood's nickel-plated 44 semi-automatic Magnum from, is it Deadpool, I think? That was a big gun.
They say Canadians are pacifists. Jesus Christ, you hear that?
They're armed up there.
Yeah, they are. So. I mean, what else could I answer? Could I think of the shopping mall from Dawn of the Dead? Just the whole goddamn mall with zombies outside.
Yeah, I mean, it's too easy when you want to mention Seth. I mean, obviously, you hear the Emperor's Throne Room and Return of the Jedi a lot. Everyone wants that.
Really?
Chair.
I don't. He just sits there all day and looks. What does he do all day? He just looks out.
He looks out into space
and he's got like a bunch of old guys next to him and some red guards. Like, what's he do all day? Does he order take? I mean, just staring out into space. That's pretty boring.
Well, it's better than most TV.
Well, I don't know. What kind of TV did they have in the Star Wars universe? I mean, he had to have...
He had a Law and Order spinoff, even that. <Yeah.
laughs> Law and Order.
Law and Order Cauldron.
That's what.
Or Eldron.
But wouldn't they all be like members of the Imperial Army, though?
Well, didn't they do that with the Ben Stiller show? They had cops and it was two stormtroopers and all that?
They did that. I think it was like medieval times on Ben Stiller.
Yeah, I could have sworn there was an internet parody that did that.
There was, called Troopers with... or Troop...
Yeah, Troopers.
Troopers,
yeah.
Thank you. It was that, yeah. But,
Oh, I thought of another one. I mean, this is just a practical implication. I'd love to have, if we're talking set, I'd love to have the screening room from Cinema Paradiso. Because then not only would I have my own home theater, but also I'd all get all melancholy and sad and feel sad every day. Which would help. I like melancholy, sad shit. That's just a pick. Whatever.
Wow.
Okay. Let's see the little...
And I'm the one bringing the show on a down note.
James Bond and that. But,
okay. Yeah, really.
It's kind of hard to say what we'd do if you had a bun... well, a gun, not a bun, but...
a gun bun.
A gun from James Bond. What are you going to do with it? You're not going to be able to shoot people with it, so... Well, like, if you had the golden gun, what are you going to do with it?
Yeah, that's a good point, actually. Unless it came with the midget, you know, then maybe you could do something with it.
You'd probably
want that either.
True.
You pointed at Jerry Lewis and demand he lets you watch The Day the Clown Cried. That's probably what I
Daddy, get up there! Yeah, I actually was watching
Or one of those ball bearings from Phantasm. Those things are pretty cool.
Oh, shit, yeah, the spheres.
Yeah, the spheres.
Which, weren't there, like, in the movie, wasn't it, like, they established their human brains in there, isn't that right, or...
Oh, really?
I don't remember.
I've never seen those.
You've never seen the Phantasms?
The only reason that sounds familiar, that was from Doctor Who episode they did that.
I would recommend seeing the first two Phantasms. Don't see three or four. They're shit. But the first two are really great, weird, mindfuck. Oh, not, the first one's kind of a mindfuck. The second one's very straightforward. But I would recommend it. Phil, you've never seen them, huh?
I did notice one thing when I saw them in the stores. Correct me if I'm wrong. Isn't the poster for the cover art on the DVD or the video... the same for every single one? The old guy holding some balls?
That's the cover of the third one, but I don't know if that's the DVD cover art now.
Yeah.
Well, I saw it. I mean, I've only seen a box set available for them, so if I bought it and watched it, I'd have to see the other
apparently.
Ones.
It's a they're strange movie. There's some really cool stuff in it, but there's some really cheesy bad stuff.
Absolutely. It's not like, you know, Evil Dead where they actually did bring that series to a close with Army Darkness. You know, everyone wants to say, "Oh, do an Evil Dead 4." I don't want to see an Evil Dead 4. You know, but you kind of ended the series on a really high note with the end of Army Darkness.
Everybody says.
Which ending did you prefer? I always like the store ending.
I love both of them, but this is gonna be a weird answer. But Army of Darkness was not so much Evil Dead 4 as it was Evil Dead 3, but it was an individual movie. If that makes any sense, it felt like it. In that in mind, I'd say the S-Mart ending was better. Like, if they were flat out making Evil Dead 3, then yeah, the apocalypse ending would be better because every movie always ended on a cliffhanger, if that makes any sense. The S-Mart ending is better. They're both great, though. Because considering that opening with S-Mart, it just all comes around. And I think there's a bad public misconception that Raimi hates the theatrical cut. And it's like, no, he likes the theatrical. He said, like, I like the theatrical cut. We wrote that ending. And that new opening, so I do like it. I approved of it. Like, it just wasn't what I...
Sam Raimi doesn't hate anything. He's incapable of hate.
I don't know about that.
I've never seen him angry.
Don't make you Sam stop, angry. Don't make Sam Raimi angry. You would not like him when he's angry.
No.
I don't know why. Well, you know why he's not angry? Because he tortures his cast on the sets all the time. I was listening to the Evil Dead 2 commentary a few days ago, and I hadn't listened to it for years, and I just forgot, like, you know, those stories about how Sam Raimi would just torture the shit out of Bruce Campbell. I mean, have you seen that, Phil? Or, like, the documentary, like, the home video on the set, like, getting ready for a take, like, Sam Raimi's got, like, a spray bottle right in front of it, and, like, and action! All of a sudden, Raimi gets in front of the camera and sprays Bruce Campbell right in the face, and he's supposed to act.
I've not seen it, I'm afraid, no.
That's funny, man.
Nice.
I think so. Makes me chuckle.
It's funny because it's not me.
Absolutely. Well, Bruce Campbell didn't seem to mind because he kept coming back for more for those sequels.
Yeah.
Anyway, I guess
we all want Sam Raimi. That's what we want. That's our favorite.
I just want to buy Sam Raimi. Yeah.
We just want to know what Sam's going to do next.
He's doing that Wizard of Oz prequel crap, I think.
Yeah, no, if only I wish he had done The Given Day. That would have been great.
That would have been
another movie set in Boston, but the book is great.
Well, I mean, he was going to do that Jack Ryan movie. I mean, at one point.
That too.
Go ahead.
Oh no, I was just about to say, if you know, it's at, you know, I was just talking about The Given Day. It's basically whoever does that movie, it's going to be like the new Ragtime, essentially. We'll see though.
Is someone attached to that already, or I could have sworn someone was.
Sam Raimi was considered doing it.
Well, I mean, he's not attached. He just considered it, though. Is that
right?
Okay. Well.
It's written by the guy who did Shutter Island and Mystic River. It's more historical than anything.
I'm all for him doing another thriller because, I mean, Simple Plan is probably his best movie. That and Spider-Man 2, I mean, are his two best films. And he hasn't done a straightforward, like, crime thriller in a while. Oh, The Gift, he did that, and that was good. But that was, like, 10 years ago now. I mean, I'd like to see him go back to that now that he's done with the Web Slingers and whatnot.
I'm a Quick and the Dead fan,
That's
actually.
A fun movie. I love that movie. Apparently, I'm the only one.
I haven't seen it.
I just said.
Other than Phil. All right. Well, I guess on that note, folks, thank you for listening to I guess this is the shortest one we've done in a while, but we had a good discussion. Got longer than I think.
I must shout out to the commenters, though, because I forgot last week and I got in shape.
Thanks
to the hate, I'm afraid. I'm sorry. But we mentioned Lighthouse, of course.
At the beginning, though. You mentioned it at the beginning, so I thought you had mentioned them, so...
No, that was 2 weeks ago.
Oh.
I keep a track of these things, Jamie. I have to because you know I owe these guys now, unfortunately. So to A to the H, to Lighthouse, to Welsh Film Buff, to who am I missing? I've said Lighthouse. I'll
say it
have
again.
To dig it up now. Other people, if I've missed you out, please, I apologize. This is getting bad now. So leave comments, please, because you didn't leave comments last week. Maybe we sucked last week. Let us know. We always appreciate the feedback. Just let us know. Just talk to us, please. Communicate. We need your love. I need it.
Wow.
Thank you. Thank you for that platform, Jay.
Anytime, sir. It's all... Everyone
has... I'm going to have a life now.
Yeah, okay. Folks, thanks for listening. Uh-huh. Have a great week. We'll see you back here, same time, same channel. Until then, the balcony is closed. Goodbye.
Bye.
Goodbye.